Free Fire Radio.
Radio.
Is about to commence.
Good morning, our state, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, 7:05. What am I doing here? March the 23rd, and it's going to be a overcast day, but we'll get to that in a second. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and you can listen to a stream at KCNR1460.com, and you can hop into the chat room. You're sitting in the chat room? What exactly is the chat room? The chat room is a group that grows constantly. It comes in every morning, has their coffee, and discusses our show while we're going on with it. Gives us advice, sometimes good, sometimes not. Talk among themselves and have lots of questions for our guest. And it's we call it the KC in our chat pack. I was holding up the 300 because they're Spartan-like in their devotion and their fidelity to the cause. And speaking of Spartan-like, Bad Bob. Good morning.
I was thinking more like fidelity.
Yeah, you know, Spartan-like. I like that.
That's not quite ready yet. And wet and rainy today. And 44 degrees right now. Showers off and on. Could have some more hail. And if you've missed the couple of really massive hail storms that have come through town, your chance could be coming. South winds up to 16 miles an hour, gusts as high as 24. The ground is very wet, so if you got trees and other things that are prone to blowing over, just be aware of it. And right now, 44 degrees weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
That's right. Anselmo Vineyards are having a big music weekend up here. You know, one of the things is that Keswick Dam flow is reduced today from 50,000 cubic feet per second, which we know fills up 9.25 swimming pools that hold an average of 40,000 gallons apiece, thanks to Jim Sharp. And the second thing, just here to keep your spirits up, is that the city of Reading is offering sandbags to the residents. That's right. You think you're going to need sandbags to protect your property during the storms that are expected to strike the North State over the next few days? If you do, here's where you can get them at. You've got them at the Fire Station 4 in South Bonneville and the City Corporation Yard on the Viking Way off Old Oregon Trail. You can get up to 25 sandbags, but you're going to have to fill them yourselves. It looks like is that it's going to be heavy rainfall in northern Sacramento Valley from today and again Thursday and also Wednesday. They could also fall Friday. So if you're having a little problem with the weather, get used to it. We're back. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a silver screen legend that just passed away last night, and a few other things that are happening around the world, and we've just got a number of things that we're working on. This is Carl in the Bot. Oh, wait. Bad Bob, don't push it yet.
That's good, because the computer's not coming up.
That's right. How can I do this? Linda's on assignment. She's sitting, I have my arm around an empty chair here.
Uh-oh.
Linda's on assignment this morning. She's got a lot of things to do today, and she's got the show tomorrow, but she is here in spirit. She's here in heart. It's just that she's not sitting here in the chair with us. Okay, we miss you, hon. All right, now we're going to take that break. Now are you ready? See, I cover for you all the time, Bad Bob. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media at 7:09 on a Wednesday rainy morning. Yeah. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I'm Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda's on assignment. 7:12 in the morning on March the 23rd. Yes, it's going to be a rainy day. It's 44 degrees. It's going to be raining all day today. Started last night. Elizabeth Taylor died.
Wow.
She died in the age of 79 at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. She'd been hospitalized for over a month at Cedars-Sinai, where she was treated for symptoms of congestive heart failure. She announced her congestive heart failure diagnosis in 2004. And Elizabeth Taylor has been around, since she was a child. She won Oscars for her performances in Butterfield 8 and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. An extraordinarily beautiful woman. And quite a stormy personal life, you might say. Marrying Richard Burton twice.
Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah. She's survived by her children, Michael and Christopher Wilding, by her second marriage. Lisa Todd by her third, and Maria Burton, whom she adopted with Richard Burton, to whom she had been married twice. She had 9 grandchildren, but she was in, you know, she was, I remember the one that I remember so well was National Velvet. Mm. And she played a young girl who, and Mickey Rooney was in the film, and she was, National Velvet was, there was a horse that went into the Grand National steeplechase. And she rode the horse disguised, because she was like 12 years old or something, disguised as a male jockey. It's, you know, one of those stories that goes on and on. But Elizabeth Taylor's been in so many great movies, and it's one of those things that you kind of think that, you know, that they'll go on. And I guess they will, because they're movies, Bad Bomb.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's not like, I mean, she's gone. It's like, they say John Wayne is still one of the more popular actors in the world, and he's been dead since, what, 1979?
Something like that. Quick shout out to one of the members of our chat pack who's a bit under the weather, and we have plenty of weather out there. So, John, hope you get well soon.
There you go, John. Yeah, this is you know, what you need is like 2 days of sunshine. So, don't count on it this week, John. I hope you get better at that. Get a little sun lamp, stick it on your front of your face, and just let it go.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, you know, just get up close to a 200 watt bulb, and you'll feel a lot better. Take a lot of vitamin D. Hey, you know, yesterday I went to another funeral. Of a sailor that had been in, he had served in World War II, Korea, Dom Lagaro. I'd known him since he was one of the first people I met when I moved to Reading, and I used to, you know, I would ride my bike down to Tobacco and Brew almost every day, and Dom would show up, and he was, gosh, in his 80s, and he had a collection of antique motorcycles, and yesterday his family rode two of his collection up. As part of the procession, an old BSA, I think two old BSAs, British bikes that, I mean, they're about as basic as you can get.
Rangers,
and so, yeah. Oh yeah, and they always leak oil, so you always park it. You bring your own cardboard. No, it's true. You bring your own cardboard, but it was really a nice service. A lot of guys, though, you know, guys in leathers coming up and talking about what a man he was, and here he was in his 80s riding. You know, screaming past you on a bike that's older than you are, down the freeway. You know, he had a good strong life. And I remember Dom because when they had veterans, they had a disabled veterans hunt, and Dom was a disabled veteran and went out on the pheasant hunt that that an organization put on here, and went out there and hit every pheasant that they kicked up. So, I mean, that was extraordinary shooting also.
A life well lived.
He was. It was a life well lived, and people came up and talked about that life. So for Dom, you know, fair winds and following seas there. Okay, let's start on things. Since we've already talked about you can get your sandbags.
Man.
Let's talk about Libya. You know, here's the thing. Again, you know, they're squabbling right now over who's taking over the no-fly mission in Libya. Well, you know, as just in case you're not keeping up on this everywhere, is that the no-fly mission, what is a no-fly mission exactly? Isn't that kind of like making sure there's no airplanes flying in a zone? Yeah, no, you know, a no-fly zone. So from here to here in the country, you can't fly. Well, let's expand it out from here to here. Okay, you can't fly in that. So how do you do a no-fly zone? How do you make a no-fly zone?
You fly in it?
No, you don't fly in it. That's how it is.
Well,
no. They don't fly in it. You fly in it. So, but the way you do it, you take out all the air defenses. So that means, you know, air-to-ground missiles. That means Tomahawks coming in at 600,000 a pop. And by the way, the F-15, and we recovered the pilots, which was great. That's $100 million worth of aircraft. But then you take out command and control systems. And then when you take out command and control systems, you probably hit their electrical grids, you know, because you need power. Well, you don't always hit the power grids because, you know, we're here to save civilians. That's our mission, is to save civilians in Libya and just make a no-fly zone. Well, not so fast. Of course, we've taken sides. And now we're bombing the Libyan troops and their tanks to force them away from Misrata. It's not exactly a no-fly zone. Now we're going into ground attacks. And as one of the rebels said, and this is a quote, Gaddafi forces are more powerful than we are, so we're depending on those airstrikes. So, we've picked these sides. Meanwhile, we don't know quite what the mission is how long we're going to be there. And again, why we're getting into this exactly, I'm not exactly seeing the national interest. You know, if you had said 15 years ago, you know, or, you know, during the Lockerbie bombing, you know, when they blew the airplane out of the Lockerbie, you know, the Lockerbie Terrorism Act, or the shooting people, or they were linked directly to terrorism, that was a good time to go after them. Reagan went after them once, and it quieted everything down. But I don't see it here. Instead, the rebel forces that are trying to overthrow his government, so he's fighting them, and so we're going to protect civilians. Now, all the stories you're going to see now, and I think the front page of the Record Searchlight is indicative of what you're going to see. Snipers and tanks hit key Libyan city. Muammar Gaddafi snipers and tanks are terrorizing civilians in the coastal city of Misrata, a resident said. And U.S. military warned Tuesday it was considering all options in response to the dire conditions. Well, you know what? I don't know what that means. Does that mean all? Does that mean that the next thing that's happening is the 82nd Airborne is going to be jumping into the desert there? That's all? You know, this whole thing is, and here's the part, and we got to take a break, is, you know, President Obama, you know, I was cheering you last week for staying out of this mess. You know, now it's on you. This is Obama's war, another one, just like in Iraq, just like in Afghanistan. You started something else, except in this one, you went to South America. You went to Brazil and played soccer and danced while you ordered men and women into combat. So you're making your South American and Central American swing while we've got men in combat, or we've got our warriors in combat. I would think, you know, you might want to cut it short, or, you know, I know you're trying to make statements about it, but there's a lot of people, even your own party, are going, what's going on here?
Yeah, this isn't what they signed up
for. Yeah, you know, that was... Yeah, that's what Gaddafi said. I thought we were friends. He said, I thought President Obama and I were friends. I trusted him. Got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Am I getting tired of this? Am I getting tired of Libya? Am I getting tired of President Obama every time I turn around? We're someplace else and people are shooting at us. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl Lindebaugh, Linda's on assignment. It is 7:23 in the morning on March the 23rd. It is 43 degrees. It's raining. It's going to keep raining. The weather's always brought to you by the weather report. Let me make this clear. The weather report is always brought to you by Anselmo's. The weather is not brought to you by Anselmo's. In fact, Anselmo's brings you sunshine in spring. And they also bring you music. They're going to have a great, great music weekend up there. Give them a call at 474-5546 and get reservations, because you're going to need to escape and get up someplace where there's coziness, there's great food, great service, and the ambiance there is great. I just kept saying great. It's wonderful, all right? Okay. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite on Liberty Avenue now. They've moved, 244-1988. Give Doug Tooley a call for a Dish Satellite. Guarantees his work. He's local. Again, local. A professional, and guarantees his work. 244-1988, Dish Satellite.
Don't call the 800 number.
Don't call the 800 number. That takes you to some place in Wisconsin, and an angry union union person answers the phone because
they've... making new friends in a foreign country.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right, let's talk about Japan. You know, it looks like it's Japan, and it's not getting a lot better. It's the costliest earthquake ever. $300 billion from the earthquake and tsunami could top $300 billion, Tokyo warned. And babies should not be given tap water because of radiation from a crippled nuclear plant. That's just the first official estimate, and it covers damage to roads, homes, factories, infrastructures, and dwarfs losses from both the Kobe quake and Hurricane Katrina that swept through New Orleans. $300 billion. And now they're having a growing concern of the risk of food safety from radiation from the crippled Fukushima power plant, 150 miles north of the Japanese capital. And the United States became the first nation to block some food imports from the disaster zone. The water at the purification plant for the capital of 13 million people had 210 becquerels of radioactive iodine, more than twice the safety level for infants. This is it's not getting better over there. And when you talk about that at the same time, unfortunately, you also talk about Japan is digging mass graves. That they're having to rethink one of its most sacred Buddhist practices on how to treat the dead. They're digging mass graves, unthinkable in a nation where the deceased are usually cremated. The number of dead at 9,199 and expected to climb well over 20,000 souls has overwhelmed crematoriums whose incinerators cannot keep pace with the arriving bodies. So they have to bury him, and have to bury him quickly. How sad. And then after that, then you follow it up with U.S. public support for more nuclear power slips. It appears to be slipping after Japan's nuclear crisis. Well, the New York governor said on Tuesday an aging plant near New York City would be the top priority in a federal review. President Barack Obama last year announced loan guarantees to build the first U.S. nuclear power plant in nearly three decades. And it's making Americans, however, what's happened in Japan is making Americans less inclined to embrace more nuclear energy. You know, the thing about it is that you get a 9.0 earthquake. What can stand in its way? Very few things. And the point is, too, is that nuclear power is nuclear power is safe. And you go, well, how can it be safe? There's never been any injuries. There's never been any injuries or deaths associated with nuclear power here in the United States. Three Mile Island caused no deaths. Nobody died from that. All the radiation was contained. It gives us huge percentages of our power, our national power, on our grids out here. I think Maryland gets like 75% of its power from nuclear energy. Nuclear energy has changed so much since we built our last plants in the 30s. 30 years ago. You think about it. You know, if it was so unsafe when these nuclear carriers come in and the carriers and the subs come into San Diego and they stay parked there for all these years, there's no radiation leaking out. There's nobody getting sick from that. Nobody's dying from that. People working on them, nobody gets sick or dies from that. Nuclear power can be a safe, reliable energy, and it's not wind, it's not solar, but it's a lot more reliable, Fat Bomb.
USS Enterprise spent 4 years on her, and she's on her last cruise now. She was launched in either 59 or 60, oldest ship in the Navy inventory.
Yeah, and it's got a
perfect
nuclear
record.
That's right, nuclear engine.
Eight of them. Eight reactors? Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, but here's the bottom line is that, yes, it was terrible what happened in Japan, but let's not just say, oh, let's stop what we're doing. If you want to take a look at the power plants, if we want to, when we're building them, right now there's so many safety, and double safety and triple safety devices and things put into it that, okay, fine. But let's not get away from that. Right now, look at where oil is and look where it's going. We've got to become independent, my friends. Of course, I'm kind of probably speaking to the choir here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 at 729. Linda's on assignment. Join us after the news. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl Lindabot, 7:35 in the morning on March the 23rd. It is 43 degrees. It's raining. It's going to continue to rain today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. You can get your sandbags, and I'm not kidding you about this, get your sandbags down at Fire Station 4 on Bonneville, and you can also get them at the... Bob, you got to help me here. You can also get them there. Oh, on Viking Way off Old Oregon Trail, you get up to 25 sandbags. You have to fill them up yourself. But, this doesn't look good.
Sand not included, yes.
Yeah, when they start handing out sandbags, this doesn't look good.
In fact, Carl, looking at the weather alerts here, a lot of rain potential over the next couple of days. And add to that a high wind potential and thunderstorms this afternoon with hail all over the place. Now, when the hail hits, I can tell you from personal experience, it's like driving on ball bearings. So please be mindful. You combine all this wild weather, and you can keep your insurance guy very busy.
Okay, here's the other thing, too. When you get a lot of rain, it's soaking up the ground, those old trees. And then with the wind blowing, they can knock down, it can blow down tree limbs, can knock down those trees. If you do, there's a phone number you can call, 245-7000. That's 245-7000. Report downed lines, which we had on Sunday that took us off the air for a few hours. Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress, and you know, today, if you're going to be out, go down there for breakfast. They've got breakfast specials Monday through Friday. They start at $3.99 for a big plate of ham and eggs. It's friendly people down there. The service is great. The food's great. It's locally owned, locally operated. That's Lumberjacks at 501 East Cypress. And when I said I spoke too soon on the chat room, I said, hey, looks like our guest is going to be late. And you're not. I'm Julie
here.
Clausen.
I'm here.
Good morning.
I had to row.
Row?
It took a little longer to get here than it would have if I'd been able to drive, but I had to kind of row. And
well, our regular chat pack is here, and one of them was here late because he said he was having a problem getting his anti-radiation suit on, and then because the gloves were getting in the way of his typing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
You're here to talk about
Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day.
It's going to be this Saturday.
Yes, sir. It will be.
Talk to us about this.
Okay, well, this is our second annual event. We did it the first time last year. In 2009, Governor Schwarzenegger signed into law that every March 30th would be Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day in the state of California. And this has been an effort that's been ongoing since, I believe, 2000, when a veteran, Vietnam veteran from Whittier, California, started trying to push this. So last year, we had an event. It was actually two-pronged. One is that we have opened up the Veterans Hall to Veterans Service Organizations, VFW, American Legion, Special Forces, Korean War Vets, all of these guys. So they could get out their information and could interact with the public. The public could find out more about the eras that these gentlemen served in, as well as the Vietnam veterans, because we're trying to be as inclusive as possible. In fact, our national motto is never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. So we have historical displays. We'll have the Huey helicopter will be there. The World War II Jeep will be there. We're going to be having an awful lot of information for veterans and their families with regard to benefits that they may not know they have. We have a mobile vet center that's going to be there again. They'll be giving things away. We have a lunch. Feral Farm is going to play. And the lunch is cooked again this year by Sons of Italy. They helped us out big time last year. They're helping us out again this year, and I just can't say enough about them.
So, again, this isn't just for this is to honor Vietnam vets, but it's not just for the Vietnam vets.
No, it's not.
We have a lot of different organizations there and veterans.
We do. And while there is an emphasis on the Vietnam veterans, and we will give all of the Vietnam veterans an official certificate of welcome home, last year we had I can't even tell you how many guys went through, and when we gave them their certificate and shook their hand and saluted them and told them welcome home, there were tears. You know, a lot of these guys said, you know, you're the first one that's ever said that to me.
Well, Vietnam was a high water mark in our country, maybe not in a positive sense.
Exactly.
But it was a high water mark, meaning it probably set a standard in the sense of how badly we can treat our warriors and our veterans.
Exactly.
And I believe that the country learned a lot from that. Maybe not right away, but as time went on, our country realized that these people that are fighting a war do it because they're sent there by elected representatives. And instead of screaming and spitting and pointing and throwing blood on the warrior, do that to the person that sends them over.
Exactly.
You know, I think that has happened in the most sense. Though there are times and things I read lately that I I'm concerned again. But we got to take a quick break here, Julie. Carl Lindabot, Linda's on assignment. We're here. We're going to take a few messages here. We're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about our welcome home for the Vietnam veterans. But there's also an escort for this. There's also a motorcade in this, too.
Yes.
Join us after these messages. Welcome back.
I love that song.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, Bad Bob, I thought that was part of the advertisement there. I'm going, wait a minute, I'm talking here too soon. It's Carl on the bot. Linda's on assignment. 7:44 in the morning, March the 23rd, 43 degrees out there. It's raining. It's going to rain all day. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Back Home Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, that's a place that a lot of people meet at before they take off on journeys to support our veterans, go up to Igo, go to different funerals. It's also the finest walk-in humidor in the state, and Espresso Joe's on a day like this could save your life because of the coffee they serve. Great coffee. They serve it the way you want it at really good prices. They give discounts to veterans. This is a great place. They support our communities. They support our veterans, Joe and Shelley do. This is Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Julie Clausen, and we're talking about the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. Now, there's just listening to the advertisement that just ran.
Exactly. Everybody knows my phone number now.
Yeah, there you go. Now, there's two things that are going on here, but they kind of combine later, I assume.
Yes. We have two things that are going on simultaneously. The event at the Veterans Hall, doors open to the public at 10 a.m. There'll be coffee and donuts, and that's free. But the people that are going on the escort out to the Veteran Cemetery, they're meeting at the Vets Hall to line up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Kickstands up, the motorcade starts, the escort starts out to the cemetery in Igo, Veteran Cemetery. And then they have a remembrance observance for the 44 Shasta County killed in action during the Vietnam War, and a posthumous welcome home remembrance to the Vietnam veterans who died since the war to now. While that's going on, the events are still going on at the hall. So there's still people be able to go. They'll be able to see the historical displays, be able to talk to folks, get certificates, eat. And then the service at the cemetery starts at 10:30 a.m., so if you didn't make the motorcade, but you want to go to the service, you can be at the cemetery, I would say, no later than 10:15.
And, you know, also, it doesn't mean you have to have a motorcycle when you're riding this. You can take your cars because it's, you know, if it's raining.
Exactly.
You know, so there's two things that are going on. They can go up there for that.
Right.
And that kicks off right at 10:30 at Igo. And when they're finished with that, they can come back and stop by at down on Yuba Street at the Vet Center and still be and still have that, or Veterans Hall, and still have and participate in everything else.
Yes, and we're going to have a free lunch again this year, as I said, cooked and served by our good friends from Sons of Italy. We had dogs and chili. We're having dogs and chili again. It's the right kind of weather for that. And it's a free lunch. You know, I know nobody said there was any such thing, but
no,
I'm telling you,
there's really a free lunch there.
There really, really is.
Okay, now, so how do people get a hold of you if they have any questions?
If they have questions, they can call me at 241-4136. Not at that phone right at the moment, so if you need to get a hold of me, my cell phone is 722-5773. You can call or text, or you can email me at julie.clausen@yahoo.com.
I'm going to be up there Saturday at Igo to participate in this, and I'm proud to do that.
Awesome.
This is something we do. You know, Vietnam veterans, again, were no other time in our history were veterans treated so shabbily.
Mm-hmm.
And the government didn't. It was almost as if the government was ashamed also by sending them home, taking them out of combat, bringing them back, and literally putting them on the street and mm-hmm. 48 hours, 3 days, 4 days from out of Vietnam. We don't do that anymore. We learned our lessons. And yet I'm starting to see things when a wounded veteran from Iraq is trying to speak at Columbia University and he's shouted down by a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds, you know, who are being, you know,
just
that,
shameful.
That it is. It's shameful because they don't want to hear, you know, his side of it. You know that, you know, they protest against a man that was wounded, you know, and had honorable service, and just wanted to speak as they invited him to do, and then he screamed down. Yet these are the ones that let the Iranian president come in and speak, and countless others. Yet a fellow American who served his country is shouted down. No, it does.
It makes you want to pull their public funding, I'll tell you what.
Well, you know, there, you know, this thing about the ROTCs and all this is, mm-hmm. is another thing, too, is that, as usual, it's people that are much braver and more courage, that care for more, that will go out and defend these people's rights who just want.
Yes.
You know, that are against these things.
If I have half a second,
sure.
I'd like to just also mention that we do have a formal program at the Vets Hall that starts. The lunch starts at noon, and we'll feed until the food's gone. Our event runs until 3 o'clock at the Vets Hall, but we have a formal program that starts at 1 o'clock, and Charlie Thompson's going to be singing the national anthem. We have two young ladies that will be leading the audience in some songs, and we're going to have a remembrance there as well. As I said, Feral Farm is going to play for us, and we're so excited about that because they're awesome, and they're dedicated. They're amazing.
That's great. Okay, that's Saturday. It's not only at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street starting at 10 o'clock. You also can get and going up to IGO. They have the motorcade that's going up there. That's going to be leaving at 9:30. The program at the cemetery will begin at 10:30. The program at the Vets Hall will continue to go on. And then at 3 o'clock, have more of an official program, too. So it'll be feeding lunch and music, everything.
Right. 1 o'clock is the program. We will have raffles and silent auctions. I happen to know there are some really nice things, so need to be present to win. But, yeah, come on out. It's good. It's good times, and, you know, as they said, it's long overdue to recognize these guys.
Absolutely. Julie, thank you so much. Welcome home, Vietnam Veterans Day. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, 7:50 in the morning, and join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Yeah! Home of Free Fire Media. Carl and the Body. Our phone line's here at 605-4567. And we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. You know, people getting in and out of their anti-radiation suits. They're not sure if they're going to float away. I'm sorry about your puppy. These are just little comments that are coming through. It's 7:53 in the morning. And it's 43 degrees. And is it just getting worse out there? Or is it my imagination there, Ben?
It is. Looking at the radar, we got a lot of heavy rain moving up out of the south. Interesting, I was looking at some of the predictions. The nearest monitoring station on the Sacramento River is the Bend Bridge site between Cottonwood and Red Bluff. And they are predicted to go past the flood stage later on today. And with the weather being what it is, right now, Bureau of Reclamation, they have to play that juggling game where they have to not lose control of the water and yet not flood everybody out downstream. So the idea is keep your ear close to the radio and be prudent, and we will try to update as necessary.
Now, wasn't there supposed to be a ribbon cutting down there at the
at the bridge?
It's been canceled. And the reason it's been canceled, Bad Bob, is?
Well, it's been put off because
it's underwater.
The Park Marina Drive, once again, underwater. This is nothing new. Long-timers remember that this is not an isolated phenomenon. It does happen once in a while, and you just have to be prudent.
Tennessee. A bill to limit Tennessee's teachers' union's ability to negotiate for their members took a leap forward on Tuesday when it was approved by the House Education Committee. The Republican-backed bill, this is in Tennessee, amended from a previous version that eliminated the ability of teachers' unions to engage, was sent by a 12-6 party-line vote to the Finance Committee. Though the amendment didn't completely eliminate the right to collective bargaining, the measure was still sparked a contentious 1.5-hour debate. It limits the union's abilities to negotiate on issues like merit pay and working conditions. So, you know, there's, what, 4 or 5 bills working their ways through Congress, you know, like Wisconsin, of course. We haven't heard anything about Wisconsin. It's been such a mess over there. You don't think that President Obama started this thing in Libya, just take your mind off of what's happening in Wisconsin, do you, Bad Bomb?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Okay. Now, as we get closer to home, we're going to be hitting things that have happened here, including the vote on on the low or the high density housing here in the county. The U.S. Border Patrol, I don't usually talk about this because they're out there doing their job. They're nabbing thousands. But this time they nabbed, I love this, they nabbed migrants from Mexico. How about U.S. Border Patrol arrested 13 illegals coming across the border dressed in fake U.S. Marine Corps uniforms?
Uh-huh.
They came over in a van. They had a suspicious van with altered U.S. government license plates at a checkpoint, Interstate 8, near San Diego. It was occupied by two U.S. citizens and 13 illegals, all wearing U.S. Marine Corps uniforms. You just got to love it. You know, you got to love it. Okay. Our last point here before we go for our break. Obama pledges $200 million to Central America drug fight. He's pledged $200 million on Tuesday to Central America's anti-drug fight. He said this in San Salvador. But he did say he would cut short his El Salvador visit slightly on Wednesday and head back to Washington, where the political debate over the U.S. military role in air assaults, it's no longer air assaults, my friends, against Libya's Muammar Gaddafi was gathering momentum. Do you know what they call a $200 million pledge to fight drugs in Central America is called down there, Bad Bob? It's called car loans. Yes, that's right. It's called car loans. They use this money for... I'm sure they use it against drugs. Maybe they use it to to improve the drug highway that's heading straight for our border. Okay. Moving as we get closer into home here. A lot of things happening in Reading. You know, again, the big things is the fact that we're handing out the sandbags to people. Some of the roads are getting closed. That the Keswick Dam, they're going to slow it down a little bit, but they still are letting out over 40,000 cubic feet per second between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. today. So that should be done already. Should be interesting to see what happens mm-hmm. there. National Service, and Bob, you're checking that real close, aren't you?
Yeah, the outflow peaked at about 50,000 at Keswick late last night, and it's been throttled back down, but it's still a changing very quickly situation.
Okay. You know, when we're going to have, when we come back, Charlie Thompson should be calling in and be talking about some of the things that are going on with the veterans' issues on the CVAC, the Shasta County Veterans Organization. They're talking about the Veteran of the Year. And getting people to put in for that. The other thing we want to be talking about is the high density, the plan that opens the door to high density, low income housing in Bernie Cottonwood and Fall River Mills. We're going to be talking about that. We don't have enough time to discuss that right now before the break. We got like a minute. But I talked to Leonard Modi yesterday, and in his discussion, obviously a lot of the citizens have a lot of questions from Bernie and Cottonwood and Fall River Mills. I mean, does this mean they're going to lose their They're going to have low density or high density, low income housing pushed in on them without them having anything to say? Does this mean that there is a possibility of the government taking their land? I don't want to let this one hold over, but no, that's not what it is. The government's not going to come in and say, condemn land and say we want to use this. That's the furthest from the truth. Even though you may hear it, that is absolutely not true. The whole plan, though, needs to be discussed, and we're going to talk about that when we get back. A number of other things that are happening here in our fair town of Reading, and also what's happening in Sacramento with the taxes. Is that going to change?
And, of course, that piece you got yesterday.
About the students.
Non-taxpaying.
The non-resident of the United States or California.
Yeah, that little vein thing on your forehead.
Yeah, that's true, and I do want to talk about that. So we've got all of the next hour filled up with great things to talk about. Even though Linda's not here to keep me on the straight and narrow. So the only other things is, talking about this is the continuance of the weather getting bad here, and it's going to get worse. It's going to stay like this for the next 3 or 4 days. When we come back, Charlie Thompson, what's happening in Bernie Fall Rivers? What's going to happen with the students, and what's happening with your money? All of these in the next hour. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Stay tuned for more Free Fire Radio on KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 on March the 23rd. My gosh, 43 degrees. And Bob, what's the weather like today?
Wet, windy, and et cetera. Looks like for more rain and then thundershowers this afternoon. Possibility of hail depending on where you're at, so please be mindful of that. The wind warning continuing through tomorrow, so the ground already saturated. We could be seeing, in addition to about another 1 to 2 inches of rain, wind gusts, get this, up to 50 miles per hour. So it could definitely be rock and roll out there for the rest of the day. In fact, they are looking at flood stage river levels down at the Bend Station on the Sacramento River between Cottonwood and Red Bluff. So it's not over yet.
That's right. The city of Redding is going to be offering residents sandbags to protect their property. The National Weather Service, as Bob just said, is going to have, they're going to have this weather for the next few days. You can get your sandbags at Fire Station Number 4 on South Bonneview Road and at the City Corporation Yard on Viking Way off Old Oregon Trail. You're limited to 25 sandbags, and you've got to fill those bags yourselves. Now, as we found out over the weekend with all this high winds and all the rain and the trees get loosened up in the ground, the older ones, you may have falling trees on lines and power outages. If so, report downed lines at 245-7000. 245-7000. If you've got a clogged drain, as people are talking about here in the chat room, they've got to, they're trying to get out to their chicken coop or chicken sloop, whatever it is, but it's underwater. Clogged drains can be reported to 224-6068. That's 224-6068. Big flood they had in Kailua, Hawaii a few years ago because the drains hadn't been cleaned out and it ended up flooding an entire subdivision. As soon as they cleared off one drain, all the water left. Okay, Bad Bob, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in the California Assembly. We're going to talk about what's going on right here in Redding. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. We'll be back after these messages. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:11 on March the 23rd. 43 degrees, and it's raining. It's going to keep raining here. Your phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR 1460, and we're chatting at KCNR1460.com. A lot of things going on in the chat room. Let's talk about, before we get to Redding, let's talk about something that we got sent here yesterday. This was sent to us by Tim Donnelly, who is the assemblyman for the 59th District. He's also the vice chairman of the Assembly Higher Education Committee. And he said, I'm sorry, it was sent out on March 17th. He said he sat and listened to over 100 witnesses in favor of Assembly Bills 130 and 131. And witnesses consisted of unions, illegal alien activist groups, illegal students whose educations are being subsidized, and the UC and CSU system representatives, as well as numerous campuses of the community colleges. What were they there for? They wanted to be included in the taxpayer-supported colleges and universities, but to be able to apply for the Cal Grant, a privilege denied even to citizens entering from other states. In other words, they want to be able to get into the Cal Grant and into the millions of dollars there. Now, these are people that are here illegally. They've said they're here illegally. They don't care. They just want to be able to have the right to do that. You know, right now there's a free health care, free kindergarten through 12th education, free food, free cash, and now they want to get into Cal Grant. I find that very interesting, Bob. And here's the thing is that that there was nobody that stood up and talked against this. There was one witness that stood up. And then the chancellor of UC Berkeley, Robert Bergenau, who, by the way, made over $429,000 in 2009, turned to Assemblyman Cedillo and said, that took courage. Well, yeah, I guess. So here it is. Assembly Bills 130 and 131 that's going to give illegals the right to get into Cal Grant, to apply for Cal Grant, which will give them money for colleges. And at this point, we are cutting back on our teachers. We're losing money. We're cutting back on teachers. We're cutting back on programs. And the I know that when people are going to these colleges, how much they're paying. That the that the things that they're doing is costing millions. That we're up to $28 to $30 billion in the hole, and we're talking about giving away more money. I don't understand this. Is there anybody out there that can explain this one to me? Is there, if they're here illegally? We know they're here illegally. They say they're here illegally. They're they're boasting of it, and yet they want to have the taxpayer money send them to school. Bad Bob.
It just amazes me. Now, I know that a lot of people go run and get their coffee and things during the break, but you heard the backside of this story. And let me tell you, this is one of those feel-good stories, by golly, that Fox News sent us.
Police say Albert Hill broke into an upscale house in Terre Verde, Florida, and attacked former beauty queen Megan Brown. Her fiancé came to the rescue, but he got whacked on the head. That gave her enough time to pull out a pink 38 caliber pistol, and then the beauty queen got down to business. Shot the bad guy four times, including the chest and groin. Police say he died at the scene. Said Hill had a rap sheet stretching back three decades. Brown says she got the pink pistol for Christmas. She was crowned Miss Terre Verde in 2009. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Now that's my kind of woman.
Well, it doesn't have a lot to do with the California assembly there, but, you know, it is an interesting thing. I know you got excited about that, and it was interesting that a pink 38 pistol.
Well, his rap sheet will not get any longer.
No, you know, she shot him four times and killed him right there. It's a, you know, the thing about it is that everything, you know, as we've had, you know, as obviously we've just changed subjects. Here we're going to roll back into this one. But, again, you know, Pete Hansen and Tom Basenko both said the levels of violence, if you're looking at across country, are rising. The number of assaults, the number of violent crimes. They may be, other parts may be dropping, but they're seeing more violence. I was talking to my sister yesterday. My nephew lives in Memphis, in a nicer area. He's going to college down there, law school. And in the suburbs there, while people are getting ready to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, some guy comes up and kicks in a door on the street, goes in and steals jewelry, comes back out, kicks in another door to go inside, and an alarm goes off, and he runs off. It took the Memphis police 45 minutes to get there with people calling 911. I find that really, really strange. So, and you're talking about this one. Let's take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:19. Linda's on assignment. I'm missing her today, March 23rd. 43 degrees. Weather's always brought to you. The weather report's always brought to you by Anselmo's. Anselmo's Vineyards, and it's a great place to go. They're going to have music this weekend, but you're going to probably need, in fact, you will need, you're going to need reservations. They always fill the place up. Give them a call at 474-5546. Cheer yourself up. Go up there, get a great meal, listen to some great music with Charles Barona and his trio. And, you know, the service is great. The people treat you very well there. It's a wonderful place to go. It's a quick ride out of town. It's just, you know, north of Palisadero. It's 9 miles before you get to Shingletown. 474-5546 for reservations up there. Okay, what's happening right here in town? And somebody asked me what happened to our guest. Our guest is Charlie Thompson, who is on active duty right now with the National Guard, and she was going to call in, and she has been detained on her call-in there, and I understand that. So she wanted to talk about some of the things that were going on with the Shasta County Veterans Association and looking for the Shasta County, you know, Vets of the Year and get nominations. So we'll cover this at a later time. Let's talk about what happened yesterday. I talked to Leonard Modi. It looks like the Shasta County Board of Supervisors approved a plan that opens the door to high-density, low-income housing in Bernie, Cottonwood, and Fall River Mills. You know, front-page story in the Record Searchlight. Now, the thing about it is that people up there are really upset. They think this is a way of degrading what they have up there in their lifestyle. They think that, you know, the word has been used, even though that it's not true, is that the, you know, eminent domain. That's not going to happen. That's got nothing to do with it, though some people believe that was going to happen. It's part of the county's general plan that allows landowners to rezone their properties for those housing units that are required by the state. Let me say this. It's required by the state. Shasta County needs to rezone at least 40 acres to accommodate some 800 very low-income housing units. This doesn't mean low-income in the sense of people with 12 children that cook meth in their bathroom, all right? This could be seniors. It could be a number of different things. But the new plan also maintains the county's eligibility for federal grants. Now, some people think, oh, that's why the supervisors voted for it. Not according to Modi. I talked to Supervisor Modi yesterday, and he said, you know, this is something that, you know, has to be done. It's not being done for the federal grants. We don't get the federal grants because of this. There's other things that have to go along with it. But the bottom line in this is that developers have to come in and say they're going to do it. They're saying is that the approval meets the state mandates, and it doesn't usher it in. What it says is that if somebody wants to come in and do this, here's the areas of it. Now, what it also says is that it still has to go through environmental, it has to go through all the zoning and rezoning before it can even be approved. Now, of course, the residents are upset because they're thinking it opens the door. It opens the door to having people, to having a low income, high density housing in there. What we're doing doesn't approve any kind of building, said the board chairman Les Baugh. It just approves a process. And so, but the problem is you're opening a barn door, according to resident Ross Jones. And I can see what they're saying. They're thinking to themselves, okay, this is what you're saying now, but what happens down the line when somebody else comes in here and all of a sudden we've got, 400 units that we, you know, that are built in the middle of Bernie or Falls River. I can't imagine being built in Fall River, but okay. It's that. Yesterday when they were discussing it, it was contentious, but it was voted on by 4-1 on the supervisors. 4-1. Glenn Hawes voted against it because he'd promised his people, and he represents Fall River Mills and Bernie. And as he says, because I promised a lot of people I'd vote no, he said. And that was pretty simple. So that's the latest on low-income, high-density housing on that. So the first step has been taken on that. As we move on, we're going into the fact that, you know, remember about the taxes? That we're saying is that if we're going to enact the vote on extending taxes on a June 21st special election, things are going to have to start happening, and they're going to have to start happening soon. Brown has indicated that lawmakers, that they have to hold the election in June before families take their summer vacations, before temporary tax increases enacted 2 years ago expire. These are the ones on the licensing fees. These are the ones that, as Police Chief Peter Hansen have said, if the vehicle licensing fees are not extended, that we're going to lose $3 million in funding that goes directly to the sheriff, the police, the parole, the probations, or the parole, and the probation offices. This is money that we can ill afford to lose right now. I'm not for extending taxes because I'm not sure what they did with it. In fact, from what I understand, these were done this way to be able to help to balance the budget. That keeps getting worse, and they keep giving money away, as you just saw when we were talking about these new bills to allow illegals to get into the Cal Grants. And yet they expect us to extend these taxes or these fees, whatever you want to call them. They take our money. But they've kind of got you between a rock and a hard spot. What are we going to do to take that spot? What are we going to do to take the place of that money? How are we going to get the funding to put the money back into our police and our sheriff's department? $3 million. There's nothing that I've seen proposed that's going to take that place. And we're talking to our representatives now to see what can we do. What happens if we lose this money? What other things can happen? And the funny thing is that a field poll shows that the California voters have a favorable impression after his first months in office, even though two-thirds of the people polled are very pessimistic about the state's direction. That 48% of registered voters approve of Brown's initial performance as governor, while 21% disapprove. and nearly one-third have no opinion. Yeah, nearly one-third have no opinion.
Wait and see.
Yeah, you know, it goes on. You know, the other things, too, is that, you know, we talk about Libya. We talk about Egypt. We've talked about what's going on in Bahrain, everything in the Middle East. But, I haven't even mentioned Yemen. They're getting ready to have the Yemen's U.S.-backed president is crumbling. His whole regime is crumbling. And they're getting ready to start a civil war there. The whole Middle East. And here we are. We're still fumbling our way through what's going on there. We're still haven't not made any big pronouncements on it. We're either in or we're out, so we're trying to stay out, then we get into it. The idea that that Yemen goes down, I mean, already Egypt has been taken over by the military, and they're holding on for right there. But Yemen now, the entire Middle East, and then we start thinking about the price of oil. Again, the price of oil going up. It stabilizes and it goes up again. $4 a gallon. It's there. Let's go to the phones here. We got 3 minutes. And Jim, if it takes longer than 3 minutes, we'll hold you over to the other side. But Jim, you want to talk about students?
Yes, I'll make this short and sweet. It's kind of a long story, but I'll make it about a minute.
That's okay. You can take up to 2.5 minutes.
Okay. So about 9 years ago, 8, 9 years ago, I did not have insurance through my employer at the time. My daughter broke her arm. It was a $7,000 bill at Mercy Medical Center. Somebody said, hey, go try to get emergency Medi-Cal. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. I've worked since I was 15, you know, why not? Except for 2 years I went to college. I went down there to get emergency Medi-Cal. They wanted my rent receipts because I was renting at the time, my 401k statement, my bank statements, all the value of my guns, anything that I owned over $300. They wanted my car pink slips to see how much those are worth. And there was a couple other things. I had to go back and forth there 3 or 4 times. And towards the end, yeah, I got it with a $600 deductible, which I was very thankful for. But the second time I was down there at the where they do all that stuff, right here in Shasta County, folks, there was a lady in there with her interpreter who was asked, does this lady have, she was getting benefits for her kids, does she have any documentation for her kids? The interpreter asked her. No, she doesn't. And the lady behind the desk said, oh, well, that's okay. We'll just do this and this. In other words, jump through a bunch of loopholes to get her benefits. And I just wanted to shout that out, and I'll take the comment.
Well, you know what? That you know, there's already getting comments in here on the chat room, and you know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if you follow the rules, you're getting punished, and you know, and you are having to do this to take care of your family, and somebody else walks in. Oh, we've got extra money for that. We just don't have extra money for you. You people that are documented, the people here that are citizens of the country, we don't have that because, you know what? It's And how much time do I have here? 30 seconds? I testified in a court trial once, and the guy in the deposition in the military, and I said to the lawyer, I said, you know, he's going after. I said, hey, wait a minute. He said, you know, we're worried about his rights. I said, what about my rights? He said, Captain, you have no rights. You haven't been accused of anything. And I kind of think that kind of says it all when it comes to our system anymore. Harlan Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We're going to go to the news. When we come back, we've got a lot more here. It's 8:30 in the morning on March the 23rd. The Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Lindebot. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:34 in the morning, March the 23rd. And if you heard that last ad, it's Maui Bob. Maui Bob, I believe, is in Maui right now. You know what? I'm starting to... As much as I like that guy, I'm starting to get upset with him because of that. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. You see Tim and the Man in Black, great haircuts, great prices. They give you a discount if you're a veteran. And they cut hair. They don't style it. They cut it. That's man's last stronghold right there. Don't worry about seeing Dr. Phil on the TV. We'll be baseball and football and apple pie. That's Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, and it is still above water there. So go down and visit them. The latest here is that, and I was just thinking that, and this is not a judgment, okay? Not a judgment. We don't do judgments here. They say records are made to be broken. President George W. Bush set a record by adding $3.2 trillion to the national debt over the course of his 8 years in office. But President Barack Obama, and this is, I'm quoting this, but this is my little aside, who wants to be number one here, has already beaten that record with a $4.4 trillion debt in just his first 3 years in office. Thomas Sowell. You know, and I'm just, and I don't know how people are going to come back and come screaming over that when you know that. Because, wait a minute, he had to build this up because of the bad stewardship of Bush. At least there's one good thing, Bob, that I've noticed, Bob, is that George Bush is not being blamed for the Libya, for what's happened in Libya.
Oh, they'll figure out how.
Or what's happened in other places. You know, have you noticed we haven't been hearing too much about it's George Bush's fault? That sometime after the second year, people finally broken down and admitted that now that it's Obama's wars and it's Obama's, you know, that he's carrying it right now and that whatever's happening is due to Obama and not George Bush. Even though people are still screaming about the fact is that the only reason we're in such as bad shape is, and the only thing that could save us is to spend, keep on spending, which is why we're in such as mess, why California is in this mess of $30 billion in a hole. And we can't even declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, where is this going to? And I'm really starting to be a little worried that when the wheels haven't exactly come off, but they have certainly developed a distinct wobble, and that's not a good thing because the state's credit rating is already in a downward spiral, and that just tends to feed upon itself, and it makes it very difficult to raise money through bond sales and other things, and those people who are holding those bonds, of course, that's more money that gets drained out of the system. And I think I'll take this phone call while you continue.
Okay, you know, there's things that are happening here. Like right now, you know, is the CSU, the California State University System, plans to enroll about 10,000 fewer students because they're going to get a lot less money. It's to cope with a $500 million cut, or 18% cut proposed in Jerry Brown's state budget plan. Well, it's got to happen. So at the same time, they're going to lose $500 million. They're cutting 10,000 fewer students. I wonder if any of those students that are being cut out of this are people that are here illegally. Just wondering. Let's go to the phones. Daniel. Global.
Good morning, sir.
Global warming, Daniel. Something different.
Well, I just had to put a little plug in. I mean, after all, you know, we had this big drought and all that, and the lakes weren't going to be full, and now we got change required here in springtime, east and west of Redding, and last year the snow stayed up on Bali until, what, July, somewhere in there?
Yeah, something like that. And I'm looking at snow every day now. It seems like there's more snow. And then on Friday, we get hail that, you know, accumulates in my backyard. And I see people here, their plum trees are finished. Their new sprouts are gone because of hail and snow.
Looking at the freeway cameras up on Black Butte, I see about 5 or 6 inches of global warming blocking the freeway.
I figure what we need to do so we can raise money for the Shasta County and the city of Redding is we need to start selling those global warming credits. Like, you know, Al Gore does.
Well, you know, I'd like to. I wonder how many I could sell. You know, it used to be when the government would pay you not to grow things. And, you know, say, hey, you know, there's too much corn out there, so we're going to pay you not to plant 600 acres of corn. And I'm just thinking of that. Gosh, I mean, I wonder what they could pay me not to do. I mean, they could pay me, you know, like say, okay, don't drive your truck, and we'll pay you, like $200 a week.
Hey, that's a good idea.
You know, you save those, and then I could turn around and sell that to somebody, saying, "Hey, look, my truck has got less. It puts out. I'm going to put a new type of system in my truck, so I emit a lot less carbon now. So I can sell it then to Bob, who drives around in his bodacious, you know, hogback growler of a Jeep that you know puts so much carbon into the air as he drives by. There's black holes that follow him."
Well, hey, you know that just brought up a good quote, you know, from my our illustrious commander in chief, you know. You know, you talk about Bob, we say, hey, that's Bob, that's just Bob, you know?
Huh? That's bad, Bob, okay. All right, Daniel, well, thanks, you know, that's, you know, this is, you know, but wait a minute here, it's no longer global warming, I don't think. I think it's called climate change.
Well, that's because they couldn't prove the global warming, so now they got to figure out something else they can try to prove.
I'm just waiting to say, I'm waiting for the first polar bear to walk down the Market Street here, and then I'll know that maybe things have changed a little bit. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Daniel.
Have a good day.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a quick break here. It's Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:40 in the morning on March the 23rd. It's gone up to 45 degrees, but it's still raining. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. Good morning. It is 8:42 in the morning on March the 23rd, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. You know, available Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they've got a soup and salad combo, soup and sandwich combos, or a salad and sandwich combos. Nothing more expensive than $7.99 in the soups. Anywhere from French onion to tomato Florentine, sandwiches of French dip, all different types of salads. It's a great place. The food's great. Local. It's a local business, local owners. Great service. The people down there are real friendly. I'd recommend Lumberjacks. We enjoy it when we go down there.
I have an interesting toss-out for you, Carl. Attended a first aid course last night, which is required by my work for the Coast Guard Auxiliary. And what was interesting to me is that more of the course was dedicated to how to protect yourself from lawsuits and liability than about actually how to help the person. And I found that an interesting shift. More of the focus was on, well, don't do this because it'll open you up to that. And it was, and I'm thinking, my God, what a world we have created here.
You mean most of your course was on how to protect yourself in case you were trying to help somebody?
Yeah.
I thought there was a Good Samaritan law, a Good Sam law, that you can't be sued if you're trying to actually help somebody. But I don't know if
it has been watered
good,
down.
You know what?
Severely.
We need to talk about that one because that's at some point, because that's something that we that's if you see something happen, if you go and in good faith try to help somebody, but what if you do something completely wrong and you've got somebody there that's injured and you just really, you finish them off. Something's pushing against the spinal cord, something like that, and I'm yanking them out of the car to save their lives, and because I think they're dying. Or the car's on fire or something, and then you do more damage.
Well,
what happens then? That did
happen. A woman was pulled from the car by her friend. The car was, in fact, on fire, but she was paralyzed as a result, and the jury awarded something, some seven-figure award.
Well, yeah, the other thing too is when I had when the gentleman decided he looked better in his '87 Ford on my Harley than I did. And after my bike and I stopped sliding down the road 85, 90 feet later, as I was laying there and I rolled over and you kind of just check yourself, making sure that
everything's still
everything's pointing in the right mostly pointing in the right direction, and that I could feel everything, and people were running up to try and pull me away from the bike because it was on fire, and I was I was yelling at them, don't. Don't touch me. Don't be pulling on me here, because even though I felt everything and I felt the pain in various parts of my body, I still didn't want people just yanking me around there. And everybody did. Everybody backed off. And I could hear sirens in the background because somebody called them and they were on their way. The thing is that what if you do, if you're trying to help somebody and in good faith, you'd feel bad enough as it is if you damage them. But I did think you were protected.
Yeah, get the training, though, because it's definitely, I think our training was like $15 or something like that. You do learn a lot of good stuff, but the focus interested me.
Yeah. Well, the Red Cross gives classes all the time, CPR and first aid like that, and I don't think you have to pay for them either. But, it would be interesting to see that. Well, we have,
it's like $10 or something.
It's one of those times, I guess, we need to have a lawyer come on and just to talk about general legal things that are going on that you think that are true. And, like urban myths, that if you do this, this will happen, but you can do this. You can say this. What exactly is battery? What exactly is battery? Is battery touching somebody when they don't want to be touched? Is that if you, you poke somebody in the chest, is that battery? I'm sure that there's, a million laws out there now that say things. Just have somebody in here to clear that up. It looks like, one of the things that happened in the last elections is it swept in a lot of state legislatures that have changed the way we do business. Not, of course, in California. We swept in all the Democrats. And it's but in other states, things have happened, like in Wisconsin with all the battles with the unions. The Ohio, where they've passed laws on unions. And Tennessee, where they're getting ready to. Other states where you've gotten all of a sudden you have a much more conservative legislature. You know, Arizona, which has had one, you know, for a while and started a big fight with on the illegal problem. Oklahoma, it's coming up with laws. But in South Dakota, just passed a law, or they're attempting to it right now, that says that if you are women who want an abortion in South Dakota will face the longest waiting period in the nation, 3 days, and have to undergo counseling at pregnancy help centers that discourage abortions under a new measure signed into law Tuesday by Governor Dennis Dugard. And within minutes of the announcement that he had signed the measure, abortion rights groups said they plan to file a lawsuit challenging the measure, which one said would create particular hardships for women who live in rural areas hundreds of miles from the state's only abortion clinic in Sioux Falls. Officials have estimated the cost of defending the law is going to be about $1.7 million to $4.5 million. However, sponsors have pledged to raise private money to finance the state's court fights. About half the states, including South Dakota, now have a 24-hour waiting period, but this one is for 3 years. You know, I find... 3 years. Three days. And I find that interesting that, you know, that this is happening, that, that it's a more conservative tide has started to roll across the country, that people that have been fighting for these, you know, the right to life and pro-choice have been at odds now and been at, you know, in battle for decades. And that you see them swing back and forth like that. We're going to take a quick break and come back for our last segment. This is Carl and Linda Bodd. It's 8:50 in the morning. It's 45 degrees out there and rain. Join us after these messages.
But I won't back down. You can stand.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Lindabaugh. Linda's on assignment. Our last segment here, 8:53 in the morning of March the 23rd, 46 degrees out there, 45 degrees in rain, in more rain. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite 244-1988 and Doug Tooley. Local guy, don't use that 800 number. That goes to someplace else. 244-1988, he puts in Dish Satellite. Does a great job, and he's a local guy, and he's been he's a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. So he guarantees his work. We use him. We've had nothing but success with Dish Satellite and BNT Satellite. That's Doug Tooley, 244-1988.
And, Carl, just because there are a certain percentage of the population that isn't quite smart enough to figure it out for themselves, the sheriff has had to close off the Sacramento River to boating.
Again?
Because it's... It's not exactly safe. And also, you know, if you're going to go down there and get video for the relatives or put it up on YouTube or something, please be careful. That water is fast, cold, and if you go in, they won't find you till July. You know, so just be prudent.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, yesterday we made that announcement, and even though they dropped the cubic feet per second from 50,000 to 44, it's still pretty fast.
A lot of debris out there.
You know, one of the things that surprised me yesterday was when I was over at the sandwichery right down here around the corner here, great people there. We were talking about the cost of food, and that I didn't realize, but they're having gas, the rise in gas prices or diesel prices,
yeah,
added right into the bill there. And that in Mexico they had this big freeze that killed off a lot of the vegetables that we get from down there. So the price of lettuce and all these things have gone up and doubled in many cases there. I didn't realize it was because of the freeze. I thought a lot of it would have to do with the gas prices, and it will continue to do that. Every time a barrel of oil goes up, the price of gas goes up, which I haven't seen it dropping anywhere. So if that happens, then the cost of food goes up.
Snowball effect.
Everything is touched on by that. And again, you know, you know, frankly, you just almost get tired of beating on this and beating on this and beating on this. But when are we going to try and get to be independent of the Middle Eastern oil? We have enough oil in the contiguous 48 states to keep us going for decades. But it's not even that. It's that, you know, we want to change how we do business. That's great. But until that happens, why don't we take care of ourselves? We can do that.
Well, as someone pointed out in the chat room, why in the world are we giving money to Brazil to hunt for oil and not doing any here?
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, why does that happen? Why do we do that when we could, you know, either oil shale, if it's not oil shale, it could be, you know, up in Alaska, one little spot there to drill for oil. What about off the coast? You know, instead now no more coastal drilling, no more of this, no more of that. The whole thing is ludicrous. And again, when it talks about people who can't afford it, the Obama administration and everybody, you know, this just goes on. We want to save the middle class. We want to save the middle class. Well, let me tell you something. The middle class and the lower middle class and the people that are just barely making it, every time it goes up another 2 cents for gas, they're the ones that get clobbered. It's not the ones that work in Congress. It's not the ones that are well off. It's hurting. It's everybody else. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. It's me again. You got something else stuck in my craw now.
Well, you know what? That's what we try to do is stick things in people's craw so they want to talk about it.
Yeah. Hey, my wife's aunt pointed something out to me the other day. You know, people don't want to drill up right off the coast in the continental United States. So in the Gulf of Mexico, where do they drill? Way out there, and I imagine it's in international waters, right?
I assume.
Or it's deep well drilling. Now, the reason they had such a bad time with that oil spill is because that well was so deep. Now, if that well was in, say, 500 feet of water, they wouldn't have had a problem, or as much of a problem, cleaning that up and getting that thing capped.
Well, yeah, they could get right to it. Yeah, when you're down that, you know, that far, they've never had to do it before.
Right, so that's something else to think about, you know, drilling offshore, because we, you know, there are oil rigs still, you know, far off out in the ocean that are
they can
that.
Still
and
do
if
it.
If they were closer, we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, they've got
closer.
Ability to do lateral drilling, too, where they go straight down from an original oil derrick or an oil platform and then go sideways and get it that way so they don't have to put in new ones. But, you know, the thing is, Jimmy, is that if you don't want to drill off the coast, fine, because we've got plenty within on land that we can get to.
That's
if the only thing we have to do is have the national will to do it, but we don't have the national will to come back and just say, look, we need this. We're going to be tied to oil in our economy for the next 30 years.
Yeah, and how much oil is in Anwar?
Well, obviously, you know, from what I've heard, millions of barrels of it, and it's a small part of a very large area up there. And if you look at the true pictures of it, at least the ones that I've seen, is that there is, it's one small area that they want to use up there. And if you look at the other drilling platforms they have and the oil pipelines that go through, I mean, animals are walking on it. You still see all the caribou. You see everything out there. They get used to it. It hasn't harmed them.
All right. Well, it was good talking. I'll let you go.
Okay. Yeah, we're about finished here. Okay, tomorrow we've got ever have one of those days, my friends, when just things, you know, you just keep trying and trying and trying, and it's just like one half click off. You're like an inch out of the target, or you're just touching around the edges there. You know, every so often you have days like that, and probably it's because my bride isn't here. Tomorrow, though, we have my guest host will be Mark Beecham, and Mark's always good. He's just filled with all types of facts, and he and I discuss things back and forth on the mail about, you know, different stories, and, you know, he is, you know, he's the one to get things started. So we've got Mark Beecham tomorrow. We're going to be talking about with a couple of the local businesses also. And then we've got one other thing, too, is here. We've got, how much time we got left here, Bad Bob?
I'm coming up on about 30 seconds.
Okay, you know, again, Elizabeth Taylor passed away. And it's I don't usually talk about movie stars or anybody like that, but in this case, she seemed like somebody that I would have liked to have met at one point just to talk to her.
An enduring legend.
Yeah, a legend, and there's so few of them left. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Well, what's your year?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.